You are listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 8. Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell. Today's episode is supported by The Wool Room. The Wool Room is dedicated to delivering you a better night's sleep. At thewoolroom.com, you can choose from a wide range of mattresses, mattress protectors, bedding and beds filled with British wool, ensuring that you stay cool and comfortable at night. Find out how wool can improve your sleep by visiting thewoolroom.com and claim your 10% discount with the promo code WOOLACADEMY. That is the promo code WOOLACADEMY written all in one word. Today's guest is Chris Tattersall. Chris is the co-owner and managing director of The Wool Room at thewoolroom.com. The Wool Room is a retailer specialized in wool bedding, beds, and mattresses, alongside many other beautiful wool products available in the store. Welcome, Chris. It's great to have you on the show today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Great. Thank you for your time. I know you're very busy. And maybe let's just get started by you telling us a little bit more about yourself and The Wool Room.
Of course, yeah. So my name's Chris Tattersall. My career has really been all around sort of home textiles. So I started in the furnishing fabric business, working for a very well-known company called Osborne & Little. And then I moved into the world of beds, working my way through with a business called Relion, who are one of the biggest bed manufacturers in the UK, latterly as managing director. And they were a key supplier to all the major retailers as well as the independent sector. And in about sort of 2012, I decided that I wanted to do something different. And that's when I bumped into my fellow co-owner, Joe Dawson, who'd started off The Wool Room in 2008, really on the back of sort of a frustration about the value that was being put towards wool products. And he'd had this fledgling little business called The Wool Room. And we bumped into each other at Heimtex in Frankfurt. I was really interested in what he was doing with wool bedding. And it seemed like he was really interested in what I could do perhaps for The Wool Room. And we came together. And the rest is sort of history, really, in terms of really taking on The Wool Room and developing it into sort of a major homeware brand for selling wool homeware products. And here we are today, with growing fast, and it's a very exciting future ahead of us.
Oh, that sounds great. And I think Heim Textile is also the place where you and I met for the first time.
So. It is indeed. It's obviously where everybody gathers, I think.
Yeah, that's a key fair for all home products, including wool. And tell me, what is your number one challenge at the moment in your business today?
I think it's probably the perception of wool by the consumer, the end consumer. I think we're trying to break down probably decades of a misunderstanding. And I think what's happened is that sort of there's almost like a generation that has moved on to more disposable society, use of synthetic fibers, cheaper fibers, cheaper clothes, cheaper materials in terms of homeware products, with fashion moving ever faster. And I think the challenge is that what a consumer doesn't really understand is what wool brings to the party, what it does, its features and benefits, and how it potentially can change somebody's life or the environment they live in. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. This stereotypical view on wool being difficult to care for, itchy and scratchy, just being a warm product. And they couldn't be so far from the truth, really.
And what are you doing to break those kind of wrong perception or those barriers that consumers have?
Well, I think there's a number of things. One of the things I've learned over the last sort of 18 months, 2 years in particular, is what's really resonating with the consumer in our world is all about getting a better night's sleep. And what we've tried to do is focus our business on really delivering the very best natural healthy sleep. And in doing so, we're trying to eradicate some of these sort of misconceptions and also take away some of the negatives. So, for example, our wool bedding is machine washable. So take away the negative about being difficult to care for. Let's remove that. Let's give them the ability to be able to wash their product. And that's what we've done. And that sort of ticks a box. The second thing is to really sort of make it understood that actually you can encapsulate wool very cleverly in other fibers, as we do with our bedding or in our mattresses. And you can hide those wool fibers away so people don't need to come near them, don't need to get the touch, but actually they get all the benefits that wool will derive, in particularly in terms of sleeping comfort. So, and we just keep plugging away about, particularly through research, and I think that's the key, is provide the proof that somebody will sleep significantly better by sleeping on and under wool than other typical fibers in the market or that exist today and have done for the last sort of 50, 60 years.
And yeah, I also came across another barrier when I was doing some other research where I asked consumers what type of bedding they were sleeping in. And most often people didn't actually know what was the content of their bedding, like if it was down feathers or synthetics or cotton or wool. But what I found interesting is that a lot of people just told me, yeah, but it's allergy friendly. They were really, that seemed very important to them. And I kept asking myself, why do they mention this in particular? And when we come to clothes, people don't tell you, oh, but my clothes are allergy friendly and so on. So what do you think is that drive and how are you addressing that need that people want allergy friendly bedding?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it, Lisa, relates to health and well-being. I think the consumer society now is becoming ever more in contact with how can they live better, how can they look after themselves better. And I think one of the things we've seen over the last 30 years is a growth in allergies, whether it be simple allergies to sort of house dust mites, whether it be a growth in asthma, whether it's dermatitis issues such as eczema or psoriasis. And I think there was a real concern about, you know, when one is sleeping sort of hopefully 8 hours a night, then these are very real issues. So I think sort of the concern about allergies has grown, I think probably on the back of the growth of asthma. What are we doing about it? Well, one of the things that when I came into this industry was everybody talked about wool being naturally hyperallergenic. And I thought, well, that's fantastic. I understand the theory of how it works in terms of the management of moisture, keeping a dry environment, but where's the proof? And I couldn't find any that actually existed or any that was really sort of definitive. So the Wool Room actually embarked on, again, trying to remove this consumer negative about wool. And we worked with Allergy UK, who are the leading allergy support body in the UK. And they devised a protocol that replicated a sleeping environment for the first 6 weeks, which is the known period that house dust mites will fully colonize a product. House dust mites being probably the largest allergy issue regarding bedding. And the results came back and they were absolutely definitive in terms of there were no live dust mites, there was no dust mite allergen derpy 1 present in the product after 6 weeks. There was almost a total eradication of mold and fungus, which of course is the food source for the dust mite. And I think it really has changed the thinking that we now have at the Wool Room, we have the only natural sleep solution that is Allergy UK or holds the Allergy UK seal of approval. And that is hugely powerful. So when the consumers, of course, are asking for, you know, what about allergies, we can absolutely definitively say, you know, this holds the Allergy UK seal of approval across the whole range, whether it's our baby range under the Baby Wool brand or whether it's our Wool Room branded range.
Yeah, and that's really impressive that you went into this venture of giving proof to the consumers. And you just mentioned the Baby Wool brand. What was the reason behind developing a new brand? And I know it's going to launch very soon. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, for the start of the business, really, we focused on adults, or sort of really from teens through to adults, in terms of providing a range of products across all the key sizes with this definitive support through against allergies or sort of management of temperature and moisture. We feel that there's no reason why, when there is big concern around sort of babies when their immune system is definitely more fragile than obviously in adult stage, that we feel that wool has major benefits. And I think it's probably fairly well understood amongst young mums and maybe grannies that obviously laying your child on sheepskins or wool has always had a definite benefit because of its heat regulating capabilities. So it's a very logical step really for us to launch sort of baby wool or an extended range of baby wool products. So a mini me twos really at the early starts of somebody's life. And we want to really be able to go from almost newborn to the grave with offering a range of products that are suitable for every age group. And that's why we're really looking at that whole sort of newborn status. So we will be launching a very, very exciting, you know, sort of newborn range of products under the Baby Wool brand and the complete wool sleep system, which is something that we're becoming very well known for, that is sort of using British wool, machine washable, Allergy UK seal of approved, and offers the complete sleep solution. So, yes, very exciting indeed.
Well, I wish you all the best for that product launch.
Thank you.
We'll be looking out for that. And also speaking of your business strategy, so, you know, expanding in product range is one part of your strategy. But then I was also curious to see that obviously the Wool Room started as a pure e-commerce site, but then you also ventured into having brick and mortar stores by now actually in 6 locations around the UK. So tell us a little bit about that strategy of the that part of the business.
Yeah, I think businesses have seen over the last 2 to 3 years development of an omni-channel strategy, which is multiple touch points for the consumer. E-commerce is great. It's accessible from the armchair. People can access and research a huge amount of information. But I think when you're certainly sleeping on certainly a more expensive product like a bed or a mattress, there is certainly a large proportion of the consumer population who would want to probably touch and feel and try before they buy. And certainly when you're spending, you know, a third of your life in bed, it's a very, very important decision. So we also feel that it's important to have those two or three different individual touch points. So give the customers the ability to research online and then the potential to go into a bricks and mortar environment to be able to touch, feel and try. And indeed, vice versa. So, you know, we're in locations that are a growing number of locations where customers really can try the product before they buy. And that's our pillows, that's our duvets, that's our mattress toppers, that's our mattress protectors, that's our mattresses and the beds. And they really can sort of tailor their sleep solution to them. And that's where we're a little bit different. We believe that the real life situation is really important. And indeed, many of those customers may actually go home and order online. But it's the combination of the two that we think is really, really important going forward. We're offering a very, very different experience to a traditional consumer journey. So rather than going in and just choosing a mattress in isolation to your bedding or vice versa, we're basically enabling the customer to tailor their sleep solution, so their mattress with their bedding, that's going to work together to deliver the maximum sleeping comfort. And we think an omni-channel will absolutely support that to the maximum.
Yeah, and also what would interest me a little more in that direction, so you have different forms of contact with your customers. So tell us a little bit, is there a difference between what you hear from your customers in stores and what customers are telling you or giving you feedback online, and how are you using that information that comes back from the customer?
Yeah, I think at every touch point, whether it's in a retail store, whether it's going to a consumer show, whether it's online, is really important. I think the message is very consistent. The biggest single issue that we get fed back is that people sleep too hot in bed. And they are looking for solutions, and increasingly are finding that wool is the solution for that problem. And it could be an individual or it could be two different temperatures between partners. So that's the biggest thing. The second area is all about allergies, as you quite rightly pointed out, where people are looking for a solution that is more natural. So rather than a polyester-based solution or a chemically treated polyester to an allergy problem, or in the case of our mattresses, for example, which are completely chemical-free, looking for a non-flame retardant, because in the UK, we're perhaps a bit different to Europe, we have a mandatory regulation for flame retardancy on our mattresses and our beds and upholstery. So we have to adhere to that. And we very cleverly use wool in the outer surface, the outer fabric, and this is my textile background coming through, to achieve that natural flame retardancy. And people are increasingly seeking that out, I think. And that's what we're finding. And it's very consistent to whether we're talking to them over the phone, whether we're talking to them in online interaction, or indeed face-to-face in a store. Those sort of key things are consistent right the way through.
And you mentioned just another challenge that by saying there's a difference between flame retardants in the UK and in Europe. Obviously, with an online store, everyone around the world is able to find you and probably also able to order. So how do you deal with these different cultures and needs serving those international markets?
Sure. So at the moment, we limit our mattress sales to the UK because we have very specific. I mean, again, every country seems to have a different size of mattress or bedding type. So there lies the challenge in terms of being able to operate globally. So we limit our mattress sales. They're big and bulky items. They're expensive to ship. So they are largely limited to the UK and Irish market. In terms of, that's not to say we wouldn't ship them, but it tends to be more bespoke. In terms of our bedding, that's a really interesting area. So the sleep solutions, sort of all the bedding items, we're now actually offering in not only UK sizes, but we've launched European sizes. So from Scandinavian through to German, to French, to Spanish. And we've also offering US and Canadian sizes as well. And these are available from stock. And obviously, with modern global logistics, we can ship anywhere really in the world in sort of 3 to 4 days, a complete bedding set that hopefully will be the right size or the right type. So the unique concept that we've created in terms of this complete sleep solution should now be available really to most countries in the world. And that is a hugely exciting opportunity for us, and one hopefully that is going to grow the demand for wool.
Wow. So if I understood correctly, even within Europe, we are sleeping different size.
Correct.
Oh, my God. Okay. That does sound complicated.
Every size. And even difference between France and Germany, from Germany to Scandinavia, they're all different sizes.
Wow. Okay.
There is some consistency, but often you'll find that, different sizes of beds demand different sizes of duvet, for example, different sizes of mattress protector or mattress topper. So it's hugely complex in the world. And then, of course, you go to the American market and everything's in inches. Everything's larger in scale as it is in the States. So it's a challenge.
Wow. Okay. Then, good luck in building those market shares. Yeah, wonderful. And tell us a little bit about your marketing strategy. You mentioned already a little bit that you also go to fairs. Like, how are you telling the wool story to get people to know the wool room and also your products?
Yeah, I think it's a number of different marketing communications. So obviously the website is a huge marketing tool for us. We have a very strong digital e-commerce strategy. So we put a lot of time and effort into search engine optimization, into paid search. And of course, Google's changing its algorithms the whole time. So that's a complex challenge in its own right. But we're number one in the UK for all the key search terms for our wool products. And we work very hard to achieve that, both paid and organic. So that gives us a huge opportunity to sort of increase the awareness of the brand through that route. We also push very, very hard on the public relations side, so PR, as we say. We employ a London agency who works very hard to engage with the key press and target consumer magazines to ensure that we get editorial, advertorial, and indeed we will support that with both digital and print advertising as well. And the key message that we're really focused on is that we are the home of natural, healthy sleep. We will deliver the very best natural healthy sleep. And it's as simple as that. And that's what we're promoting and actively sort of driving forward.
And you told me also once that you often go to like home country fairs. What is the idea behind that?
Yeah, I suppose that's more, I think that's the traditional route that we would go to sort of county shows and sort of more local shows where, they're days out, they're for the consumer, You would take a small stand or booth, and you'd promote your products locally. That works where we've got a retail shop or store. Then that strategy still holds firm. It very much promoting the local store and increasing the awareness about our product and our brand. I think what we'll see probably over the coming years is that we'll reduce in number. So we'll do less and less of those shows, and it's probably more global. As we've seen our sort of national growth, sort of growing as a brand, I think we'll find that we'll end up doing sort of more national sort of activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. And you didn't touch upon social media, but I know that you're also very active on Instagram, for example. Tell us a little bit about what role does social media play in your strategy?
I think social media will increasingly grow a role. It's probably fair to say over the last 2 to 3 years, it's played a role, but not a significant one, as we've targeted other areas to sort of grow the awareness and the brand. I can see, I mean, increasingly Facebook has been quite popular. And indeed, what's happening now, of course, is Facebook advertising is growing in popularity because you could be very, very targeted, both with the demographic, with likes, and sort of type of individual who might be attracted to your product. So that is going to grow in popularity. But I can see sort of areas like Instagram, Pinterest, as we as a brand become perhaps a little bit more emotional, a bit more stylistic, then those sort of social media channels, I think, will become increasingly more important as people search out for solutions to perhaps problems or indeed for ideas for creativity sort of going forward. So I think it will become increasingly more and more and more important.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I just moved and I really was very active on Pinterest, just searching different solutions for a bed and a living room, etc. So if then someone would come across a bed of the wool room, I think that would also help drive sales to the store. So yeah, it'll be interesting to observe how that develops at the wool room. And maybe now let's talk a little bit about like lessons learned. What kind of knowledge or what did you learn over time where you say, oh, that would have been helpful to know early on in the business, and how can other people learn from that?
Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
I think if I touch on two things. One is, I think as a business, we probably opened too many retail stores too quickly. And what I wish I'd done is I probably opened one, maximum two, and learnt the lessons from those as to the formula that can work. So I think that's probably one lesson I wish I'd probably, if I could go back again and do it a different way, that's what I would probably have done. So I think the second thing is really looking at what's amazed me out of all of this, and what we've really hit on was about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, was how much better people want to sleep. So people really don't sleep that well. Certainly when in an age group, probably 40 plus, maybe 35 plus, and it can be all, for all sorts of reasons. But I think the population, you know, there's a significant part of it that really doesn't sleep as well as they want to. And they're absolutely crying out for solutions to be able to sleep better, because they're really starting to understand the link between sleeping better and your health and well-being during the day. And it can be a whole host of things, whether it's work, whether it's managing children, it's career, partners, relationships, all of those sort of things. And I think if I'd known that earlier, then we probably would have embarked on our strategy probably earlier. And I think it's one of those things that sort of has really come through and resonated with the feedback from customers. And we see what's selling, and it's all these amazing products that help people sleep better. And I think that's probably the one big thing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that. And indeed, I think it is a real trend. Like you can't, like every management blog or tips on how to be more productive, they all would include one point of get more sleep. And that also would then lead, of course, to get better sleep. So indeed, I think you're hitting the spot right there.
Yeah, I think it's the quality of sleep, actually. I mean, everybody thinks about quantity. Mm. It's about the quality of sleep. And that's where wool is just so amazing. Because it just gives this deeper, more regenerative sort of sleep. It's your stage 4 sleep. That's the critical thing.
Yeah, no, indeed. And also, as our podcast is you know, targeting the wool industry as well. How can the wool industry support an retailer like the Wool Room to be more successful? Because we often speak that, you know, industry collaboration is so important. So what, how would you see, could you be more supported?
I think the wool industry is very, very fashion focused. And I think there needs to be a broader outlook that actually there are so many areas that wool is brilliant for, whether it be carpets, flooring, bedding, as the world we're in. I mean, bedding is just so unknown across Western Europe. You go to Australia, New Zealand, it's relatively well known. But in Western Europe, and indeed the States, it's so unknown. And I think that one of the biggest opportunities is if we can spread that word about the different applications that wool can go into. So that's one area. I think the other thing is provenance. So we've seen the trend in food where people are really wanting to know where that food's come from, how far has it traveled, where is it from, what conditions is it being produced in. The extreme is organic, but ultimately far more sort of detail about and transparency. And I think the wool industry could do a lot better at providing that provenance. So us being able to tell a story as to where our products come from, which farms, and really tell that story that it is so sustainable, because that's one of its key major features as a business is, you know, is it, wool is just so, will outstrip anything, whether it's down, feather, polyester, in terms of its resource. So for me, that's the second thing. And I think the third area is research. So one of the things, as you can probably tell from the work we've done with Allergy UK and with the University of Leeds in looking at moisture management, is I really like the facts. I like to be able to prove to a consumer, here you go, here are the facts. This is what it does. This is the story we tell, and here is the support. And I think if we can do more research around, you know, air quality, for example, and laying wool carpets down, and how much healthier it is to actually live in that environment, how much better it is to sleep with wool, all of those sort of things, I think naturally is going to again support, you know, wool is a premium fiber. You're not going to be able to sell it at a mid to lower price point. You can't compete because it's naturally more expensive. So what we've got to do is to sell those features with proof. It really has. And then the consumer will say, gosh, that's just a price worth paying. So for me, that's how the wool industry can really support it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for those words. And I think now it's time to wrap up. If people want to get in touch with you or find out more about the Wool Room, where should they be going to?
So I think there's two things. One is the Wool Room website, which is www.thewoolroom.com. Or if by all means get in touch with us and just email us at info@thewoolroom.com. And I'd be more than delighted to have dialogue, or if you want to find out more about what we're up to, and you know, maybe work together in the future, that'd be great.
Yes, thank you so much, Chris. We'll link to the website and the email in our show notes so that our listeners can have easy access to that. And yeah, thank you once again for your time today and answering all these questions, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Chris Tattersall. Find out more about Chris and the Wool Room by accessing the show notes of this episode at elizabethvandelden.com/008. Once again, elizabethvandelden.com/008. If you liked today's episode, may I suggest that you subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss any of our weekly episodes. Also, let us know what you think of the show by leaving a comment in the comment section underneath each podcast episode on the website. Maybe you have a particular question that you would like us to ask, or a suggestion for a guest for one of our upcoming episodes. Whatever it is, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, and see you next week.